Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Seattle Restaurant Podcast. It's beautiful in Seattle this weekend, and my friend Dave got a tan. Dave, how we doing, brother?
Doing good. Yeah, I got that from that Aurora Borealis.
So I completely fucking missed it.
That sucks, dude. It was fucking mind-blowingly beautiful.
I've never had FOMO as much as I did for that, and I fucking, like, I just had a long-ass day. I had like a.
It was on my bucket list.
Cool.
Check.
Well, now you can die, and at your funeral...
Wait, no. I still got to see a killer whale in the wild.
Like in a forest or something?
Yeah.
I'm never going to die. How's the week, brother?
It was good, man. Yeah, Buckshot was super busy. New menu.
Everyone's out and about.
Yeah. New menu came out, and all the items are doing well. Yeah, it was just like really good Mother's Day. We probably had our best Sunday ever yesterday.
No shit. What do you think? Is it just the burn and turn of it, or like how you gain the numbers up? People just drinking during the day.
Well, it was just a constant,
right,
crazy flow.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
How long is the wait on a Mother's Day at Buckshot?
I think it was moving fast enough to where, you know, just maybe 10-15 minutes. We do take names. I asked one group of people to leave. There's 9 of them, and you know, we had 2 4 tops right next to each other. They kept wanting to put them together where our patio is, and they would have clogged the whole patio.
Got it.
And I was like, "Hey guys, you guys got these 2 tables right next to each other. Yeah. You can chat and do what you got to do." And the guy just wouldn't let it go. I really want to put them together, and I don't understand why.
For the 45 minutes you're going to eat, you can't stand.
He asked me like 6 times. Yeah. I'm like, sir, you're already unhappy. I got people who need these tables, so why don't you go be unhappy somewhere else?
Speaking of unhappy, let's introduce our guest. All right. Over on my left, he's been frowning the whole time for some reason. Aaron from Backyard Bagel. Aaron, how are we doing today?
We're doing good.
Are you good? Okay, now you're tearing up a little bit. Aaron, I'm so excited for you. You are about to open up something in Fremont, right? Or is it open?
No. Early July.
Cool. We're gonna talk about that. And then we had a guest booked, and I'll ask the guest right now. When I send out a text, you've probably never seen it, but just a text that says
I just show up.
Yeah. You just show up. That's probably why you never prepared. But it says, like, here's how the thing goes, blah, blah, blah. And the last thing that says, what's the last thing it says, Aaron? Do you remember what it says on the text?
If you don't show, I'll kill you.
If you don't show, or if it's, I think it says, like, if you flake, I'll fucking kill you.
Oh, there you go.
But this was a miscommunication, whatever. And so I was at the Fremont Market just about to get my ass kicked. And, like, I get the email from the person that can't make it. And I'm like, fuck. Like, the countdown's on. We got 24 hours to find a guest. And, like, first thing I do is run across the Fremont Market to Mike Shaved Ice. I'm like, hey, dude, he's got a line for days. I'm like, hey, real quick, are you free tomorrow at 10 a.m.? He couldn't do it. And then I'm like, all right. And I texted you. I was like, you work on it. I'll fucking go to work, and then we'll figure it out. And then luckily our next guest just happened to walk up, and I was kind of daydreaming. I was like, hey, you wanna come and talk on the podcast? And hey, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, good to be here. And it was a beautiful day. But my name's James Wagoner, and founder and CEO of Jewel Case. And Jewel Case has developed a portable power system and powers hundreds of food trucks nationwide.
Yeah, so you're probably wondering, like, why you're on a restaurant podcast. Well, really, why are any of us on a restaurant podcast? None of us at the table own a restaurant. Well, I guess own a Seattle restaurant. But yeah, so you know, with this podcast, we never take any money for advertising or whatever, and we're going to keep it that way unless we get a really huge offer from, like, I don't know, Best Buy or something.
Nike.
That's not a no-brainer. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's anyone that I don't – not that I have anything against Best Buy, but if there's someone I'm not a fan of that I'd take money for to advertise on here. You can think about that, who that would be. I'm sure there's a breaking point. Anyway, so with Jewel, I've talked about the podcast a bunch, and it's a product I believe in, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But let's just jump into it. Aaron, who are you, and why do you make bagels?
Who am I? I started making bagels in the pandemic, just like any kind of other bored person.
Everyone that started making bread and...
Yep. Yeah. And so I was working in tech, I was working remotely, and I just had way too much time on my hands and too much access to the internet, really. And so I just started.
No such thing as too much access.
I had too much access.
We're on like the black, like, the dark web, looking at bagel recipes. Oh shit! You just stick your dick in it. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
No. And so I lived next to Seawolf at the time, and they were doing a flour. They were trying to offload all of their flour, so it was like 50-pound bags of flour. So I bought one, and I just started making bagels in my kitchen. My kitchen's like 70 square feet; it's a mess. And so I was making 6 bagels every day for 9 to 10 months, every single day. So there was always rotation. And finally, someone said, "I would buy this." I was like, "This is better than the store bought bagel," which now I know is like a pretty low bar. But I was like, "Hell yeah, that's awesome!" And so I started selling to like friends and family. And
sorry, real quick background: Seattle or
California?
California.
Moved
got
up
it.
Here
cool.
6 years ago.
What part?
Got
it. What part?
Southern, Orange County.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, and so I started doing that. Started doing deliveries. Was in the Fremont market for a bit, and I think I met you there. I had some kutu there. And that wasn't like the best market for our kind of product at the time. And so we started doing like Des Moines and kept it really slow. Got married last summer in a backyard, which is kind of the whole theme. And then started in Ballard, which is like a huge forcing function for us to grow, because we couldn't keep up, and we're still kind of like selling out every single week and upping our numbers every single week.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah,
it is. It is. And then it's just doing the math. And at some point, like, and I'm like in Tukwila. I live in Ballard. The kitchen's in Tukwila. So like the drive is insane. And at some point I just like, we got to have more places to sell.
Right.
And so the storefront conversation came up and we found a pretty good spot.
Right. And where in Fremont?
Upper Fremont, so next to Paseos, Rock Creek.
Oh, nice.
Time. Yeah.
It's a pretty area.
Yeah, super neighborhood.
Neighborhoods, yep. Yeah. Yep. Sweet. And so what's the plan? Are you going to just do the brick and mortar? Are you going to continue to do the pop-ups?
We're going to do, I think it's 5 markets this summer.
Jesus.
And then I hired a market manager, so he's going to manage all that. It's a full-time job.
Yeah.
And then we'll have the storefront as well. And we wholesale, not a lot, but a fair amount.
Which markets are you going to be doing?
Okay, Ballard, Des Moines, Shoreline, Wallingford, and there's one other, Queen Anne.
Queen Anne, cool. Yeah. All right, well, me and you will be hanging out, me and your market manager will hang out in Queen Anne.
Do you do toppings and all that? Yeah.
At the markets, we just sell bagels and tubs of cream cheese to go.
What about in your storefront?
Yeah, we'll do, it's going to be like a create-your-own-lox sandwich kind of Chipotle-style line.
Oh, cool.
Have you ever heard of a larrapin sauce?
No.
All right.
What is that?
It's something I wish we had up here. There's a place in Eureka, California called Los Bagels, and they have this larrapin sauce. It's like magic deliciousness, and I think it's a vinegar mustard dill type thing, but it's one of the most delicious little bagel sauces I've ever
had.
What
kind of sandwich is it on?
It's on bagels.
Well, like what kind of bagel sandwich?
You can put it on any of their bagels, but our move was like salmon lox, capers, and red onion with a little larrapin sauce. I think there's some cream cheese underneath.
Cool. Sounds like something we got to add to the lineup.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to talk to you about your Chipotle lineup. Then I'm going to talk about mine early on the podcast because I want to promote something that I'm doing next week. So when you walk into the storefront in Fremont in July, you said, right?
Yeah.
That felt like really far away. I'm like, oh, fuck, it's already May. I'm like, that's really, really. Yeah, you should be nervous. Okay. Tell us about the options. Is it going to be literally like pick your bagel? Just walk me through the options of how it's going to work.
Yeah. So we're still ironing out like the final details, but you're going to pick your bagel, you're going to pick your cream cheese, you're going to pick. If you want to stop there, you can just buy a bagel and cream cheese. If you want to add veggies, you can. If you want to add fish, you can. And so you'll walk in and start on the left, get your bagel, slice it, whatever, or we'll slice it. And then you just kind of pick you're like work your way up to the sandwich. And then at the line, we'll wrap it up for you. You'll get your espresso on the right-hand side and
be on your way.
Be on your
way. You don't even have to pay.
No paying. It's
cool.
All free.
It's so cool. All right. So whenever I promote my events, I always do it at the bottom of the show, and I figured, hey, we're doing this podcast for you, might as well promote it. This week, I'm doing this thing that I'm going to talk about, and then the following week, I'm going to be Caner at the Gorge, and then the week after that, it's just like I'm in the shit with Kutu. So I want to do a fun pop-up, and something I always hear people say is like, oh, someone should do an Indian Chipotle, or like people say that a lot. It's like, oh, I want to do the Chipotle of blah, blah, blah. You know, it's either the Uber or something or the Chipotle of something. And so I don't know. I used to I've worked at a lot of burrito shops in my life, like not good ones, you know, like Chipotle, like they're local companies, but they were like Chipotle style. One of them was fuck, I don't even remember the name of it, but it's owned by Wee Man. Chronic Tacos. It was like a Wee.
I love
Wee
Chronic Tacos.
it was in Orange County.
I thought you were going to say, I love Wee Man.
Where in Orange County are you from?
Fullerton.
Okay, cool. Did you ever go to the bar they had in Costa Mesa?
Chronic Taco Bar?
Yeah. It was Chronic Cantina. It was
He was on Jackass, right?
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm still ironing out the details. I got to finish this by today because I got to put my orders in. But it looks like I'm going to do a couple different tortillas or a bowl and then pick your protein. Right now I'm looking like a tandoori chicken, a beef curry, cauliflower, and a shrimp. And then pick a starch, which might be like a chickpea curry or curried fried potatoes. Then toppings, I'm still kind of figuring it out, but looking like pickled red onions, carrots, cabbage, probably not corn. I don't know why I wrote that down. And then a couple of three sauces to pick from, then some crunch stuff, and then I might do some kind of weird chips and tomato chutney thing. So that's the idea. So not only I'm going to do that at the Fremont Market on Sunday from 10 to 4, but I just signed up for the Fremont Bazaar, which is at the same location from 6 to 10 on Saturday night. So two chances to get weird Indian burritos. Let's talk to our next guest. James, where did you come from and why did you get into batteries?
So I am from Idaho, and right after college, I had a good college buddy of mine, both mechanical engineers, and this is not to date myself, but I will. It was about the time that the Tesla Roadster first came out, so everyone's like, cool, electrification, electric cars, but this car doesn't drive from San Francisco to L.A. And, you know, side note, that's a really dumb comment, but that was being said.
Yeah.
And then so we were talking as, you know, 22 recently graduated engineers full of gumption and confidence and saying, well, you know, we can swap these batteries out. Why not have a battery blade system? And no one was doing it. And then so we did it. And then so long story short, we had a contract with Spain. We thought that business and clean tech was easy. Great recession, the austerity measures, especially in Europe and Spain, that contract went canceled. But ever since then, I've been in batteries. So still with Alex, the guy I went to college with, and I've been in batteries and packaging them and deploying them to customers for a long time ever since.
Right on. What are some applications for the Juul other than food trucks?
A lot. Anywhere that you have a large diesel generator, large portable power application. So we have systems deployed to construction sites, music festivals, natural disaster sites, and even like some EV charging and some, you know, forward operating bases for military.
So we know that the battery can power my cart. What is the biggest thing you can power?
So we just got a contract with Washington, D.C. Department of Transportation to charge their EV buses.
Oh,
so they have over
an entire city's bus line.
A whole city bus line.
Wow, dude, congratulations.
Awesome. Yeah.
And I'm sorry, when did Juul case start?
We started R&D in 2015, and then we launched commercially in 2018. And then about a year and a half later, we poached Apple's head of battery to become our CTO.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And do you go by Juul or Juul Case?
It's Juul Case normally, but then all the branding's Juul. So, but normally refer to us colloquially as Juul Case.
It's funny because when I texted Dave the pitch hitter, he was like, he goes, "Oh, you mean Juul Bakery?" I'm like, "No, not the restaurant group."
Sid misspells everybody's
name.
That's true.
Yeah.
So he's in a hurry, so I assume he's just screaming at his phone under a bridge somewhere.
But okay, so let's talk about the food truck thing. Why was it important for you to get into the food truck scene?
Well, it kind of fell into our laps, and we actually were doing a lot of music festivals and events, and then good timing again.
Real quick, what are some of the festivals you've done, and are you on site for these?
Yes, cool. We have been. And then so this is, you know, going back years and years now, but we were really focused on music festivals 2018 to 2020. And then, of course, you know, that changed.
Yep.
But there's a so we've done EDC Las Vegas,
cool.
Tree Fort, Pixie Dust here locally, Wonderland, Nocturnal Wonderland, to name a couple.
Wow. We got Wonderland last year.
No, okay. No. So kind of with COVID and the pandemic, we've transitioned away from music festivals. It turns out, side note, that music festivals don't have a lot of money. They don't spend anything up front. And then so food trucks were still around, and we were able to then sell into food trucks, and we have hundreds of food trucks nationwide now.
And but you're a Seattle-based company.
Yes.
And who are some of the guys you work with in Seattle?
So some great ones here in the state of Washington. There's 28 Washington now. Yep. Of course, Kotu, great one. Theo's Euros. Yep. Canela over on the east side, Sugar and Spoon, Pie Bar, Dreamy Drinks, and Cafe Works, to name a couple.
So I can go on all day about why we you know when I saw you yesterday, we kind of went into it. Okay, just sell me right now if as a food truck, and I'm actually kind of shocked that it's only 28, because Dave, we've talked about this, like we were around when there was like 14 trucks, and now that there's, I don't even know what the number is anymore.
I think it's almost like, last I asked, it was 700.
700.
And that was years ago. And so it could be.
But then quarantine probably killed off a bunch and, you know, whatever. So let's say we were in the 400, 500. 28 is surprisingly small. But I guess, like, right now, if you're a food truck and you're listening, why don't you sell me on the battery?
Yeah. So just some stats here, right? If you're operating typical load, so a brand new gasoline generator at running like 1.8 kilowatts, which is like that red Honda generator. 1 hour of that emits as much smog-forming pollution as driving a passenger car for 150 miles.
Holy shit. Yeah.
And that's crazy. That is not like where,
one
you know,
hour.
Let's, 1 hour.
Yeah.
And imagine if we were having this conversation in the tailpipe of your car, we would move, right?
Yep.
And we wouldn't sit there for 150 miles.
Yeah.
But all of those generators are in pollution centers, or population centers, right? So Ballard Farmers Market or wherever. There's hundreds of people around. And then so that kind of pollution control is why you're starting to get a lot of legislation to ban generators.
So not even in like a long-term sense. You're talking about just in the short-term sense of a bunch of generators in a small confined area is awful for you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could taste that shit when you're on the truck. Like, you remember that? I was told it built character.
Aaron, real quick, you don't run anything on your, or I guess you just have coolers, and so you don't
That's
have
it.
To. Cool.
Simple, yeah.
All right. Thanks for joining the conversation. okay. So pollution in the short term sense, and what else we got?
So then there's been a lot of businesses or communities are starting to ban or not allowed generators. So if you're trying to cater to Microsoft, generators are not allowed. Ballard Farmers Market is now starting to ban them. Or another one, New York City, because of that pollution exposure to children, has legislation to ban generators for ice cream trucks.
I didn't think about that, because generator normally is about the same level as a kid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you see this being a trend, like starting in New York and kind of going nationwide, where generators are going to be a thing of the past?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And it's what New York City on
that
side.
It's going to happen no matter what.
And then California is also banning generators, right?
California's banning everything.
It's true.
I'm a broke food truck guy. I care about the environment, but I care about money first. Talk to me about money. Talk to me about the breakdown of why this might save me money in the long run.
Yeah, great. You just got to make financial sense. And there's a couple things. You know, come talk to Jewel Case and our whole team. We'll do a whole ROI analysis and show you the breakdown of what it's going to take. But by saving that generator fuel, that diesel fuel, you're typically paybacking is about 10 to 14 months, no more than 2 years. Yep. So it's a little bit more upfront payment, but then there's no more fuel. And there's also no more hassle, right? You just plug it in every night, and suddenly you don't have to worry about diesel fuel anymore. Yep. And then you don't have to worry about the maintenance
or
the breakdowns or anything like that.
What does your how does that affect your electric bill? Like you said, plug it in every night?
Yeah. So it's going to cost you less than $5 a day.
Nice.
You know, it's funny, I didn't even think about that. You know, there's two things that have been killing my electric bill. My inflatable hot tub. And then, this is actually really sad. I think I talked about this early in the
podcast.
There
were so many things that came to my head when, and I just couldn't get them out fast enough.
That's what therapy is for. I'm really sad. I got to return my my mill, you know, the food compost bin. Have you seen these things?
Oh, yeah.
The mill
the ones that sit on your counter and shit?
No. It's
a big black.
It's,
it's plastic
like a,
tubs.
Yeah, it's like the size of a trash can, but it makes your food grounds compost overnight. Yeah. And I fucking like anytime I have people over, I love showing it off and stuff. But then like me and Ariane were looking at the electric bill, and as soon as we got it, we're like, holy shit, because it's basically heating up food and grinding it to. You know,
the best way to do that is you just buy earthworms, and there's a bucket system you do, and then you use the waste from the earthworms. But yeah,
it's not sleek check and that cool out. And
no, you don't gotta plug earthworms in. Is what I'm saying.
Anyway, but yeah, I never really thought. Yeah, but good to know. $5 a day. And then you also get some credits. And anyway, so like, I told the story before, but just in a nutshell, like what happened to me is I got so the Theo's guys kept on telling me about checking out the battery. I'm like, yeah, I got 1,000 things going on. I'll get to it. And then my generator busted, and like I had service, and like I had no outs. I think ironically, Theo's let me borrow their generator that has a backup. But then I got on the horn, and I'm not very smart when it comes to like electrical numbers and stuff like that, and they walked me through everything, and I'm very happy with it. Aaron, you say you're a little nervous. How you feeling about opening up the spot? You've been doing the pop-ups for a while. What are the challenges with the brick and mortar?
There's just so much to do. It's
what was it before?
Everything.
So it was going to be a bakery that it's a brand new build. So
okay,
it's a brand new apartment building, and underneath has
got
a storefront.
Cool. Yeah.
And so these two bakers are going to start a bakery there, selling pastry. And like 2 weeks before they were supposed to open, they ran out of money. They got broken into. It was on news, and they ran out of money. And so they sold it all as an asset sale. And so we bought everything. So we bought their progress.
I mean,
their time.
I guess great for you, but
it's a double-edged sword. Yeah, it's like someone's gonna buy it. I guess it's
there was a lot of that in the pandemic. When I was opening Buckshot, I was able to walk into like a Flying Squirrel Pizza in Stewart Park and just take everything. They're like, it's gonna cost us $2,000 to put all this stuff in the dump, so we'll give it all to you for $2,000. And I'm like, cool,
nice. Sounds good. Yeah, there's just so much to do, and it's everything that I need to do is just so expensive.
Yeah,
and so it's just money is just
And here's a, are you gonna be charging the same? Like, are you changing your prices at all?
We're gonna increase it just a little bit.
Yeah,
just a little bit.
Is that gonna be across the board?
Probably mostly on the. I think the bagels are a little bit under. Yeah. But we're just bringing it up to market price, really. Like, we're below it right now, even at the market.
How much is a bagel right now?
$2.75.
That seems like really. Yeah, that sounds great.
Like
Old Salt,
that's a great
Rachel,
price point,
it's all $3. Everyone's $3, and so I have all these new expenses. I'm just gonna come up a little bit just to market price, but nothing more.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite bagels in the city?
So I really, really like Rachel's bagel sandwiches. Yeah. I think they make it's. I think it's hard to beat. They're good sandwiches. 100%. Paul's doing such a good job.
Yeah. And no one else. We're starting a bit. Are you like the Kendrick Lamar of bagels? Like,
so I think the big question at the table is, why'd you say no to Love is Blind?
The first reason, probably the biggest one, is I was engaged at the time, and I showed my wife, and she's like, no.
No.
It would have been funny if she's like, yeah.
No, what happened?
You'll see how good you have it. Well,
this is our first test.
What happened was, I think I just had your number, and I texted him. I said, get on the cast, or something like that.
He didn't respond.
Yeah, he didn't have my number. I had his number.
No intro. So it's just a random number.
It just said, get on the cast.
Sid texts like a scammer.
I know.
Well, that's my other job, so sometimes I get confused. But I literally just said, get on the cast, and then he didn't respond.
Yeah, and then look at what he said next, without any intro. I didn't have his contact at the time.
What did I say?
You said,
Aaron, get on the cast. And then it looked like there was some time passed, and you're like, you mad at me?
Yeah.
He's like, yes.
Well, I thought I was going to mess with you.
And then you called me, explained, but
the Apple will fill in your contact.
Right. Yeah. So why did that confuse you? Get on the cast?
Because a couple years ago, it was the Love is Blind. Like, get on the
cast.
Yeah,
he thought you were the people from
I had
Love
no
is
idea
blind.
About the Love is Blind thing. But okay, so you got hit up about it, but you just never did it.
Holding out for Bachelor in Paradise.
And you really thought that people were hitting you up like a couple years later and be like, no, get on the fucking cast.
Look at him, dude.
we should do our own Love is Blind cast.
That would be good.
There's been a lot of good looking people that have come through here recently.
Really?
I don't know. Name them. now I'm blushing.
Talking about you, Jason Stoneburner. Those golden locks.
Dave, you eat anywhere this week?
I got these two great places on my block. Rio Bravito and Scott's Dairy Free. So I've just been living burritos and cheeseburgers and milkshakes. I'm still moving, man. I gotta be out of my house, which my house is all cleaned out. The garage I got to do today and tomorrow, and then that'll be in my past. And I could actually, like, when I have a day off, be like, oh, I'm going to do something on my day off instead of go work in my other house. I've been too busy to go out. I'm definitely going to go to 8 Row
after.
That's been on my radar for a long time, and it looks like there's a deadline now.
Yep, yeah, it looks like they're going to be pausing. Opening up in a new location. Sounds like they had the lease just ran out. And
yeah.
I'm back in it. I'm doing 4 days a week now. Aaron, when you started, was it just you, or did you always have help?
Me and my wife.
Me and your wife. Yeah. Me and my wife. And how many days were you going out when you started?
Like to a market?
Yeah, yeah. Was it just Ballard?
It was just
Ballard.
Fremont. It was just Fremont.
Oh, just Fremont. Sorry. Yeah. And we were doing
deliveries to retail, like houses around Seattle.
Got it. And when did you have to scale up and hire someone?
When we started doing Des Moines in the summer, because we started doing more. Because
same day market.
Well.
Yeah, got it. Cool. I'm still running stuff on myself. I got the prep cook, but I
you
finally,
got dishwasher yet?
Yeah, yeah. It's a prep cook dishwasher. Right, cool. Now we're having the issues with communication, but that's for another time. let's give it a couple more weeks and see how it works. It's like I went from like working 1 or 2 days a week to like the 4 day stretch, and this was especially hard week because I had two caterings. I had a catering Thursday and Friday. Thursday was for the SIF 50th anniversary party. They at the Paramount. It was pretty fun. They had a bunch of food trucks. I got some awesome tacos from Good Morning Tacos and some great pizza. And but it was like five of us. There's like 2,000 people. They hired us to each truck to do 1,000 bites in like 3 hours. And I had my buddy Eddie come help me, and we fucking did it. Like I bought 1,000 boats.
I love Eddie.
Eddie's the best. But yeah, we put out fucking 1,000 portions. It was wild.
That is.
But it felt really cool to be a part of it. Like really great crew, or really great crowd. Had a ton of people come up, be like, "Love the podcast, love the podcast." And so that always feels good.
Hey, thanks for throwing my name at. It looks like we're doing Crave together.
Oh yeah. What is that?
thanks for that, Sid. Well, I've never done it before. Have you? It looks like it's a bunch of well-known chefs throwing down in Linwood for...
Here, tell you what. We'll talk about plugs. Can you look up the date? Because
June 21st.
Oh, you already know it. Cool. I was talking about something else. Oh, yeah. So I was doing the SIF thing.
Well, you mentioned 1,000 bites, and so
yes,
I instantly went to that. Yeah.
I'm high all the time. I understand the tangent.
I know, man. I got you, bro.
Anyway, and then the next day I did a wedding right up here, right next to Sunny Hill. It was like a wedding party for like 150, and really dope because like they had two trucks. It was me and another food truck, and it was like half like Indian people and half like, whatever you are.
Those are the motherfuckers.
Yeah, other motherfuckers. Other. And it was a really fun party, and I don't do a ton of catering because like, catering stresses me out, but it was really
you
fun. And,
so you don't enjoy the build up and then the
no, I don't like
the
like,
sigh of relief afterwards when it all goes well.
Okay, the thing about being a one man show, I'm just so paranoid about like not like something happening, you know, and like with the I get an accident, like I can miss the Fremont Market.
Yeah.
Like there's so much pressure.
Without a team, you can't be like, oh shit,
exactly.
I fucked this up.
Yeah.
Can you go take care of
and
this?
Then, and then one example is like. You know, I worked the Derby, which we got to talk about because you were there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I worked with this crew. I think I talked about like this crew I worked with at all the different concerts all across the country. And like, they're like, hey, you said you're doing Aftershock, the festival I did last summer. And like, the lineup, you know, was okay. But then like, I said no. And then I looked at like everyone that was working. It's all the homies, and it would have been fun. And I looked at it, I was like, it's the one wedding I have that summer, which is like fine, but it's like that kind of stuff where it's like, you know, whatever. We didn't meet up at Derby, but how was your experience?
It was fun. It's for a bachelor party.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and so I want to know about this because like I just saw it from a different angle. Like I came in and cooked and just saw it from the outside. Why Derby? Like, why did you go? Or I know it's a bachelor party, but like, why was that decision out of all the places to go? Was it the guy just really likes horses? Or
he just thought it'd be like a fun thing. Like, I don't know, going for an activity anywhere is really fun for a bachelor party. And stuff. Yeah. Like,
and how many people was it?
He had a lot. He was like 13.
13 people. And you all went in?
So we actually went to the Oaks the day before.
Oh, okay.
Derby tickets for the same seats that we got were like $1,500.
Yeah, yeah. So you went on Friday.
Yeah, we went on Friday.
Got it.
So not Derby, but we were there that weekend.
No, we were cooking on that day too. I didn't realize there was races going on that day. I was like, I'm at the venue. I'm just got my head down. I forgot what I was cooking. I was cooking one thing for 1,000 people or something like that. So I just didn't pay attention. But I went to the crowd the next day. Did you dress up?
No, I wore my wedding suit. It was like purple tan. Okay. I got a pink tie. Nice. Or no. Yes, yeah, something pink because you have to wear pink for the Oaks.
That's right. I usually like we work till like I don't know 10 or 11, but like we were done by like 6, so I didn't even think about it. But hey, you're a man about town. What are some of your favorite places to eat?
I wrote them down. Okay, so this week I went to Maize.
Up here in Ballard.
Yep, got the Birria burrito. It was really good. But then I also got another Birria burrito from Pepe El Toro.
Oh yeah,
food truck.
Yeah,
they,
the food truck.
They
yeah.
go come to.
Are you? Do you live in Ballard?
Yeah. I lived like off Market Street.
Oh, okay, cool.
So we go to Wheelie Pop every Thursday for our trivia, and so they're every other week.
Got it.
It's just so good.
Yeah.
Every week. Yeah.
I just started carrying their Pilsner.
The Wheelie Pop?
Yeah. Cool. We had their beer at my wedding. It was great.
I did service there a couple times. So I haven't been to... I was thinking about going there today. Me and Heather got to meet up after this to talk about our next pop-up, which we know the date and the location and the concept, which we will announce soon. But I've been meaning to go there because it used to be Cezanne.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the story... But is it the same thing as the place in Pike Place? Same company or different?
I've never been to the one Pike Place. Okay. It's the same company, though.
I might go today and we'll report back. What about when you were doing the markets? What were some of your favorite neighbors?
Ooh. So we would work closely with Soli Eats, which...
One of my favorites.
Yeah, yep. So they're using our bagels to make really good sandwiches.
Who was really... I saw he came... So I got food from him. I went down to get food from him, and then, like, I was like, I'll come back in, like, 5 minutes. And then I just get this massive line, and he, like, comes over and gives it to me. And then... But after I already talked to James about being the guest, I was like, oh, fuck, why didn't I just ask you? And then he's like, oh, I would have loved to come over there. I'm like, sorry, bro. but this is much better because I don't really like Sam. I'm just kidding. I love you, Sam. And yeah, who are some of your other favorite market buddies?
Oh, Porta Pies, rest in peace.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They were the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were in our same kitchen. They were the homies.
Yeah. It's tough out there. For your neighbors now, what are some of your favorite?
So we're right next to the Sambusa place.
Yep.
I forget the name of it, but they're really good. We always do a trade with them at the end of the day, and then we got our ciders next to us at the others.
Okay.
On our left side. So we always
nice.
Get a little bit of that.
Are you doing all your production at the Fremont spot, or are you going to still have a different...
No, so we don't have our health...
Okay, got it. So you want to...
Like, construction starts today for our hood.
Got it.
All right,
got
so it. You're still doing build-out mode.
Yeah. Yeah.
And are you going to do any other, like, bacon, egg kind of thing, sandwiches, or just
so
the
type
box?
2 hood. So if you have any ideas on how I could do bacon, outside of, like, a Starbucks turbo shelf kind of...
Yeah, yeah.
I would love to hear it.
Talk to DeMond. He'll be like, oh yeah, it's sous vide it. Yeah. Or just like
let's get some goji.
Yeah. Put goji on it. It makes perfect bacon. Okay. All right, cool. Good to know. So that's why it's the lox and kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Same thing. I haven't been to Old Salt yet, but I think it's the same thing. They don't have a hood or something like that where
I can't imagine. No. Well, they have Manolin, so
Rupee.
They operate on Manolin.
Yeah.
Same company. So I'm assuming they have a type 1 hood. I can't imagine they would have.
Well, man, but like to do sandwiches and stuff on location at like Old Salt.
You're saying the one in Ballard or
Fremont?
Yeah,
Ballard. Oh, I keep on forgetting that they have one in Fremont. Yeah. Sorry, the Ballard one. But anyway, cool. Let's see. Where do you like to eat? Where are your spots?
I was just thinking about this, and this week went to Sugar and Spoon.
Yeah,
That's a great one.
Yep.
For those
that don't know, what is Sugar and Spoon?
It's a food truck that has ice cream and cookie dough.
And nice. Are they? What's their background? I feel like they're like a U or what's the
U UW couple that started it. Now they, I think they have like 5 or 6 food trucks nationwide, and they actually have gone outside of Seattle. But they're
cool.
Seattle born and bred.
I always wondered. Yeah, it's delicious. It's you know, I always feel like with desserts and lower price points things, it's tougher as a truck. But they must hit their volume, so good
yeah.
for them.
Yeah, they'd be great.
Cool. What else you like?
3 Sacks Full.
Yeah,
is great. Those guys are fantastic. Have a really good.
What do you
menu.
What do you like over there?
Well, they're always changing their menu, but I love their wine. Right, so they have like a full wine selection, and the owner knows his wines very well. And you can kind of pop in, buy a bottle of wine, and then like go to the light rail to go to a game or something like that. Yeah,
nice. Cool. Anything else?
And then another one that is great is that my wife and I went to is Killig. And my wife actually grew up with Melissa, so it's really great what she's doing, and you know, the Filipino representation, and kind of changing the restaurant culture that she's doing there.
Yeah,
so.
For sure. All right, let's see what I do. Yeah, like I said, did the SIF event and had some great tacos with Good Morning. Stopped by my favorite Midwest bar, Petoskey's. You know, we've been shutting down me and Gavin shut down the hot sauce company, but like, I have some at the kitchen and they always want it. So I'm just like, I'm like, I'll trade for pizza. So it's like, if you miss Ballyhoo, one at the end of the show, I'm going to tell you how you can get some, or two, you can go to Petoskey's. I'm sure I talked about it on the podcast a lot, but I'm obsessed with, Mike's Shaved Ice. You ever?
I've never had
okay.
it.
Okay. So this kind of happened with, Moto Pizza, where like before I met the Moto Pizza guys, like Lee Kendall, they were so hyped up that I was like, there's no way I'm gonna like these guys, and there's no way the pizza's gonna be that good. And so with Mike's, they have this beautiful clean black truck and great signage and everything, and like and their lines are insane, like no matter what, like even like I did an event with them where it was kind of rainy and dead, and they had a line of like 40 people. Like no one else had a line. They always do. And I just never, I was like, I'm not gonna wait in line or whatever. And like, I finally met the Mike, and he's wonderful. And, and it's absolutely worth
it. Is it that good?
It's that good.
That's
like,
cool, man.
I didn't catch like it. I literally get one every single Sunday, for breakfast.
What makes it different?
One, like, even though they're doing crazy volume, it's like, presentation is big. They're you can see them taking the time to like not just like they could probably move faster.
Yeah.
If I was there and it was cooked too, it would be like a mess in there. But like they're very clean. 2 flavors, like, you know, it's an ube ice cream, then the snow cone, and then like the snow cap, and they're using a lot of fresh flavors, a lot of fresh fruits.
Oh,
and
so
that.
It's just not ice and syrup.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's right. It's kind of like it's Hawaiian shaved ice, so it's
like the condensed milk.
Yeah,
yeah. Exactly.
Cool. All right.
Like, did you walk by it?
Yeah, it was packed.
Yeah, exactly. It's very hard.
And we had just had ube pancakes,
oh,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah,
that
yeah,
morning.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was great.
but yeah, and just wonderful people. And I guess like his family owns a shop in Hawaii, and that's kind of the background. And you know, it's almost like have you been to Ono Poke?
No.
You've been there. Like it's just like their attitude and their vibe. Like, you know. I don't know. They're wonderful.
Make it up there soon.
Yeah. It's just the island vibe, man. And then lastly, last night after I got off of so Thursday was from fucking 7 a.m. till 1 a.m. and then like three other long shifts. And then I sat down at the bar at last call, and I got Bee's Burgers, which is the new Burbs. And yeah, they're up and running in Fremont at last call. I think 5 or 6 days a week. You can look at
same product, same burger,
fries.
It's a good burger.
And yeah, so for everyone that's like, oh man, the Burbs disappeared. Well, they're back, you know. It's kind of like the way the GME stock halted 7 times today. we don't have to talk
anyway.
About it. Well, no, it was very exciting this morning. I don't know if you follow the GameStop stuff, but I invested a lot, and I've been holding ever since, and this morning was a special treat.
Good.
Yeah. So anyway, well,
hey,
let's do some plugs.
Yeah, I wanted to say thank you and shout out to the Lady J
crew. Cool, I saw that. What happened?
Yeah, well, May is barbecue month, and so they
Happy
did...
barbecue month.
Aww.
Do you want to say anything to me? Is May anything else?
later in private.
But, Asian.
Yeah, no, I'm aware, dude. But so they did a film shoot at a bunch of, you know, barbecue joints and pit masters that they like and respect. And I was really proud that they included me. So thank you. And they've been releasing the Outsider Barbecues in it, Jeff up in Marysville.
Oh, cool.
And so, but they also did the podcast at Buckshot Honey as well. And so I was on another podcast.
Yep.
I didn't want to tell you without people in the room. But
well, this is a great time for me to tell you. We said we're going to open up our podcast relationship, and it's working a lot better for you than me. But so I don't know. If you have a podcast you want me to come on, I'm desperate. I've been on the Tinder podcast and.
Okay,
no hits, but so when does this stuff come out? When can we hear you?
It's out. There's a YouTube video for the Lady J Meat Dudes, and you know, I think they're also on the same formats we are, Spotify, all that.
Yep.
So thanks, guys.
Yeah,
and looking forward to seeing the rest of the recordings from Jeff and Outsider.
Fuck yeah. And so did all those guys come to Buckshot or like
no?
Okay.
The Lady J Meat Dudes traveled to all
to all those places.
Yeah.
Got it. Cool. You said you're open in July. Do you have a grand opening date?
No. So it depends on our permitting.
Everything.
And all that
kind of stuff. So grand opening in September.
Maybe. Maybe. I hope not. I start paying rent in July, so my goal is before then.
But just go ahead and say again where we can find you or your pop-ups.
So you can find us at the Ballard Farmers Market every Sunday. We'll update the website with all the market days for the summer, but we'll be at quite a few of them. And then 4310 Fremont Avenue North is where the shop's going to be open, hopefully later in June, early July at the knock on wood latest.
Awesome. And are you going to – how often do you switch up your flavors and do specials and stuff like that?
So we'll probably do something new every – week every two weeks,
cool.
Just like a flavor of the week.
So, like, what's
thing.
The flavor of the week this week?
I got the store at the shop.
Cool, cool.
Right now, I'm just kind of
doing
everywhere, and so I'm just like, if I could think.
Are you excited to dive into some new recipes and do some new fun stuff?
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of, I am bored out of my mind with Kutu, and I need a break, and that's why I'm doing this pop up. Actually, real quick, let's just do James. James, give us some plugs. Where can we find out more about your battery?
So check out our website, www.jewelcase.com. We have a lot of really great case studies in there. We got videos of Theo's Euros, of Pie Bar, and of Canela. So you can check out some local. Food trucks and how they're using our jewel case systems for all of their power. We got to get Kotu on there with a nice little video. We'll get your makeup, your foundation ready. So check that out.
Yes, it's always ready.
it's going. And then check us out on Instagram. We have a good following there. We do some really fun things on there as well. And then love the portable power space, love the food truck space. Something that I'm really excited about here in Seattle is the Washington Food Truck Association too. So of all of the food truck associations that we work with, and maybe I'm biased because I live here, but they are some of the best out there. There are hundreds, there's about 800 food trucks here in Washington, 35,000 food trucks nationwide.
There you go.
So
35,000 nationwide.
I thought it would have grown instead of dropped.
Yeah, yeah. And Lori might have a better update now, but 800 is my last number I heard.
All right, so. Cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
So
we
a lot more
list
to come.
Them all. We should rank them all.
I don't think we should.
At least do a top 100. Okay, let's. I already talked about the pop up. Yeah, cool. So come see me Saturday at the Fremont Market underneath the bridge. The Fremont Bazaar at 6 to 10 p.m.
Sid will be the guy yelling at his phone underneath the bridge.
Yeah. Right. and then Sunday. And then after that, I'll be at the Gorge. I will tell you about speaking of AAPI month. I'll tell you about a little speaking engagement thing I'm doing. But we didn't come up with a name for a podcast. Dave, what's the name of the podcast?
Happy Asian Pacific Heritage Month.
From, signed, Dave Storm.
Duh.
All right, guys, that was fun. We'll see you next time on
the
Seattle
food truck
podcast. See you next time. Bye. Awesome.